Okay, the call is being recorded now, and anybody who gets on the call is going to hear when they get on, and instead of the lady saying, please announce yourself, announcement's going to say, please announce yourself, this call is being recorded. So if anybody can't hear me, please let me know, like if there's interference or whatever. I want to just make an announcement now that that the time of the call is mistaken on the website and in the emails. The call from now on, today's it calls at the wrong time. From now on, the call is going to be given an hour ago and end by 9 o'clock. In other words, New York City time, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. That's the time of the that's the time this call is going to be happening, Mr. Shem. Today I'm just doing it at this time because the announcement in the emails and in the website was mistaken, and I didn't want to, you know, just have everybody miss it. But starting tomorrow, God willing, the call is going to be going from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. New York City time. And the first few minutes of every call, we're going to try to have for just for questions, without turning on the recording, and then starting at about 10 after 9, we're going to turn on the recording, I hope, so that people will be more comfortable asking questions, I guess, knowing that it's not being recorded, I assume. Please, if anybody has questions that you want to ask, or if you have questions on the responses that I'm giving and whatever I'm saying to someone else's question, please don't be so polite. Interrupt me if you want to, as long as you're polite about interrupting me. Interrupt and in a nice fashion and ask your question so that the conversation can flow more in a natural way instead of me giving a monologue. Anyway, okay. So a couple of questions were asked. One main one, if I'm not mistaken, and then a clarification. I want to begin the call because it's the yahrzeit of the Maggid of Mezrich, whom I'm a big fan of, I want to just share a little piece that I read in the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, which is very relevant to the journey of a recovering person, in my opinion. He clarifies, the Maggid, that a person shouldn't say that that he's afraid of God. Yiras Shamayim doesn't mean being afraid of God, because as soon as you're afraid of God, he's no longer your friend. If you're afraid of God, then he's an enemy, and that's not the Yira that the Torah is talking about. That's what the Maggid writes. That's what the Maggid's quoted as having said by Yaakov Yosef of Polonoi in the Toldos. And that when I read that, I don't remember which parsha it was in. When I read that, it struck me. It really struck me as being something that why would the Maggid have said that? Do people really do that? You know, and then I realized yes, that's natural. That's what probably most of us do. In fact, probably all of us do that in some way. Probably all of us see God as our enemy in some way at some time in our lives, and perhaps at all times. It's something that needs to really come out of us if we really want to have success and be okay. By the way, there's a beeping going on because somebody has the call on hold, and I don't want to really mute everybody because then people won't be able to ask questions. So somebody, whoever you are, you probably can't hear us because you put our call on hold, but there's this beeping going on now, and it's going to be very disturbing. very distracting. So I hope that I'll just keep remembering over the course of the call, and when the beeping stops, I hope to remember to say, you know, hey, there's beeping going on here. But man, is that going to be distracting? Oh boy. Anyhow, yeah, you know what I'm going to do, just because I won't be able to really concentrate. Oh, the beeping. Oh no, it's still going. Wow. Let's see. Let me do this. Okay. I muted all the participants by hitting star 5. You can unmute yourself by hitting star 6, I think. So if you have a question, you want to clarify something, just unmute yourself and say whatever you want, please. I'm going to try to remember why I muted everybody a little later, so maybe the person who put the call on hold will remember not to do that. So getting back to this, okay, so that was a nice vort. It should be a zechus for all of us, chuso yogin aleinu. Getting back to the topics that people asked, somebody asked, how do I know if I'm an addict or if I have something else? And the way the person described what he's got is he said that he uses masturbation, or rather what he says is, he said, is sexual activity to take care of his anxiety. And the problem that he has is not with pornography or anything else. So I just want to clarify in responding that if the problem were just anxiety relief, then other tools can probably be learned that don't involve sexual activity to relieve this person's to relieve your burden of stress. Everybody has burdens of stress and different burdens that we all have, and most of us learn how to take care of those problems in ways that aren't problematic to us. Now, if the reason that you haven't learned a different tool yet for the stress relief thing, if that's indeed what it really is, if the reason that you haven't learned a different tool is because you enjoy these, you know, using sexual activity as a stress relief mechanism, then I would suggest that you consider first. I mean, it sounds from the question that you asked that you've had some therapy before, or that you might even be in therapy. I would suggest that you open up to the therapist that you're working with clearly that you're using sexual activity, which I presume is masturbation, but I'm not sure what you mean by sexual activity exactly, for your stress relief. There are a lot of givens that people, you know, that I don't take as granted anymore, speaking with folks. I've met a lot of people in therapy who have not opened up to their therapist about their lust struggles. And when I suggest it, they say, what? Like, why would I want to do that? This is a religious problem, you know? Or they say, oh, why would I want to do that? This is personal, you know? So, you know, a person like that has not, you know, has been wasting their money. It's sort of like asking a Rav, a Shaila, and not giving the Rav the information, the proper information. People do this all the time with Rabbanim. They ask the Rav a Shaila, like, am I allowed to do this or that? And the Rav says, no. And they say, well, the Rav told me it's usher to go into a church. And I say, you know, but, well, you know, to like a, you know, a meeting, or it's usher to, whatever. Let's say a person for their recovery's sake decides on that it's best for him not to have sex with his wife, even though she goes to the mikvah, you know, even though she doesn't want to have sex, you know, but they figure it's a mitzvah, they have to. So, you know, he asks her of, am I allowed to not have sex with my wife when she goes to the mikvah? And the Rav says no. So he says, no, I'm not allowed to. But he didn't expect to the Rav that he didn't explain to the Rav that he's looking at pornography for 4 hours a day, and that his wife doesn't know, or that she doesn't know, or whatever it is, that he's obviously a sick guy. He's got issues around sex, or that he's masturbating twice a week, twice a day, whatever it is, you know. He didn't explain anything to the Rav. He just asked the Rav a question without giving information. So that's not fair to the Rav, and that's not fair to the guy himself, too. Same kind of thing applies over here, where a lot of people haven't opened up to their therapists about their problems, you know. So yeah, definitely I would suggest open up to your therapist very clearly about what you're doing. And people, this is the disadvantage of not having a continuing conversation, you know. But some people, I would have to guess these things, which is okay. Some people have discussed it with a therapist, and it's actually their therapist who's suggesting that they masturbate on a regular basis to relieve stress from themselves. Or they've taught themselves how the therapist has taught them how to masturbate in a self-loving way, in a non-self-destructive way, or something like that is the terminology that they usually use. So, you know, this is a guard your eyes call, okay? Guard your eyes, you know, clearly is a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish organization, and the first thing that any guard your eyes employee would suggest is, well, goodness, can't there be another way to create stress relief? Why make it an avera? You know, that kind of thing. And I concur. You know why? But the main point here isn't why are you doing this? Because it's an avera. Pick something else. You know, my point is, why are you doing this? And why are you doing this to the extent that you're thinking you might be an addict? People who masturbate once in a year and are not even using pornography and feel that they're using it for stress relief, feel certain that they're using it for stress relief, wouldn't consider that they're an addict. That's not a logical thing. If a person is drinking alcohol, for example, intentionally, because it's because of some productive reason, like for example, it's the Purim and he's supposed to get drunk, and he doesn't get drunk the rest of the year, you know, or on Pesach where he doesn't typically drink wine, he typically drinks grape juice, but on Pesach he's machmir and he drinks dafka wine because it's better to drink wine than grape juice. According to many poskim, and therefore he drinks wine, even though he doesn't usually drink wine. So such a guy why would he think that he's an addict? You know, why is he being bothered so much about the fact that he's drinking wine if he's doing it for a good purpose? It seems like the only reason that it would bother him that he's drinking wine, or let's say in this case that he's using sexual activity, which I presume is masturbation, is because that activity is bothering him. Either bothers God because the halacha states that it's usur, or because of whatever, some other reason it's bothering him. Well, if it's bothering him, then why is he doing it? You know? A person, this is the kind of question that really needs discussion. You know, it needs discussion instead of accusation. We can't be accusing somebody. We have to discuss it because there's a reason why a person, I'll just say you, there's a reason why you are choosing sexual activity as your tool. And it's not because of stress relief that sexual activity is being chosen as a tool for this thing. There's a reason why this is being chosen and other things are not. There are certain advantages to this particular activity. And that needs to be clarified. What are those advantages to you and why are you choosing this thing? Have other things been tried? You know, and again, Hadra L'Kushi L'Duchta, the question really comes back to its original spot to me, which is not Gevalt, why are you choosing this? Choose something else. To me, that's missing the point. The point of the point to me has to be, there's a reason you're choosing this. There's a reason it's bothering you. Why is it bothering you? If it's bothering you, there's probably a good reason that it's bothering you. There's some aspect to the activity that you're doing that's problematic to you. And that needs to be discussed, you know? If it were just because it was usser, then you probably wouldn't have started doing it in the first place. Because somehow you overcame, so to speak, that obstacle, you know? There's some other reason why you're choosing to do this. I mean, why you're feeling that this is a problem. I think what you mentioned was something like it gets out of hand. So I'm not sure what that exactly means. I think that needs to be clarified. If you say again, if a person says, I don't use pornography, I just use masturbation, I think that most people who use masturbation and sexual activity, whatever that is, are using pornography. They're not using paper or media pornography, but they're using lust fantasies in their mind and stuff. That's the same thing as pornography. Come on. In terms of the issue on a personal level, it's the same thing. It's fantasy. It's fantasy, imagery, using images, cultivating them and feeding off of them and imagination, and it's all the same. Would anybody say that that reading dirty books, dirty stories is quantitatively and qualitatively different than looking at dirty pictures? I don't think so. I think the value to a person of the dirty pictures is that they bring up fantasy. See, you know, and you know, the value of the dirty material in writing is that the stories bring up images in the mind. So it's to me, they're exactly the same. So how does it get out of, you know, there is no such thing as masturbating without fantasy, and fantasy is essentially the same thing as pornography. So there's really no such thing as masturbating without pornography. There is, you know, people contend that there's, and I understand the concept, that there's a big difference between choosing to masturbate because, let's say, a therapist says that they should, and having masturbation be the end of a long journey of schlepping through pornography for a few weeks, you know? I do understand the difference there, except, you know, it's not that big a difference. It's still, you know, the person is still using things that are pretend. You know, it's the activities of a 9-year-old, you know, of a 10-year-old. It's pretend, you know. I'm playing pretend now, you know. It's very, very rare. I mean, I've never met somebody who is not playing pretend. And we're talking about a 40-year-old man or woman who's engaging in these activities. And, you know, they're doing pretend activity, you know. There's an issue here. Usually people who I'm gonna stop in a minute or two. Usually people who have a masturbation habit and a pornography habit and all these other habits realize in their hearts that the problem that they have that's bringing them to guard your eyes is not truly and mainly the isser involved. It's truly and mainly, honestly, the fact that they realize that they're acting completely idiotically. You know, when we engage in these activities, we hide and we look around and we make sure no one's watching, and we know that this is immature activity. We know that this is childish. We know that. Even if you're a 50-60-year-old person, we know that the person who's doing this activity is the 12-year-old who figured it out, you know, and I'm doing it again, and I'm hiding, and that's why it's so geschmack to the person, really. it's this liberating feeling of escaping, you know, into this intense, you know, activity that nothing else is quite like it. And we know there's something wrong with that. Not morally wrong, that's not the issue. We know that there's something strange about that. And I have to hide it from everybody, especially the people that I'm closest to, you know. Something's wrong there. There's an alarm that's got to go off. And it does. And the guy or the gal who's doing it once in a blue moon, you know, that's a religious issue, obviously, because it's a moral choice and it's a moral problem. The person who wants to quit and really is struggling, there's more than just a, you know, if it's more than once in a blue moon, there's a pattern involved, there's a ritual involved, there's specific stuff, specific pornography over and over and over again, specific imagery over and over again. You're hiding it from people who you're closest to. And there's a regularity and a progression of the habit where it progresses, where it was one thing last year and it's another thing this year that's progressive. Maybe not in terms of quantity. The person might have cut down. They might be on the Great Wall of Honor and, you know, they cut down in terms of the, you know, frequency of their activity or something, but the problem's gotten worse looking, you know, uglier. The secrets are deeper, that kind of thing. You know, the activities are more demeaning or shameful or weird, you know, or intense, you know. Something is going on there that needs to change. And that's why they're searching, you know. So that kind of a person, now we're talking where they might be involved in addiction, and that's another topic. I don't have the time now. The call today is from 9 to 9:30. It's a mistaken time. From now on, starting tomorrow, the call is going to be 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. New York City time. It was announced by accident. My fault, I'm sorry. It was announced from, it was a misunderstanding. The proper time of the call is going to be 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. each day. Good morning. The call is going to be 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every day, not 9 to whenever. And it'll be an hour. The first 10 minutes will be, Mirtz Hashem, people being able to ask questions. And after the 10 minutes of questions time, we're going to start recording the call at 10 after 9. Let me, I'm not going to turn off the recording now because I don't even know how to do that, but I'm just going to say goodbye. And if anybody, I have another minute or two, if anybody wants to, even though it's in the recorded thing, do you want to respond or, you know, do you want to start off with a question now that we can address on tomorrow's call at 8 a.m.? You know what? I have to unmute everybody. I muted everybody. I'm sorry, because of that. Somebody put the call on hold, and there was a... Yeah, somebody. The reason that I muted the call was because somebody on the call put the call on hold on their phone, or they put themselves on mute on their using their telephone instead of hitting star 6 or star 5 or whatever you do to mute yourself. Because you, whoever you are, put the call on hold or mute using your telephone, there was this constant beeping every 5 seconds. It would go like beep, 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 beep. So I just had to mute the call. I apologize. So please keep in mind, whoever you are, that some of the phones that you have, particularly if they're work phones, when you put somebody on hold or on mute, it gives them like a beeping sound on their phone so that they know that you haven't hung up on them. And we can't have that on the call. It's too distracting for me. My filter is broken. Anybody have any comments or questions they want to end with?
Thank you very much for spending so much time with my questions.
Oh, please. You're welcome. We certainly didn't exhaustively, you know, cover it. But I think a little personal discussion would be better. But, you know, you're very welcome. There's much more. There's more to say. Hatzlacha.
How do you have a personal discussion with you?
Oh, just email me at weakwoodhiding@gmail.com.
What's the address?
Pardon me? It's on the website. It's all over the website. We quit hiding. It's one long word. We quit hiding.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. @gmail.com. But it's on the website. My email address is on the website. Anybody have any questions they want to end with? And Mr. Shem, tomorrow, and from then on, God willing, the call is going to be 8 to 9 a.m. 8 to 9 a.m. Hatzlacha, everybody. Have a good day. Hello? Hello?